This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
It is indeed. It's Joy's international news and current affairs show, taking around the globe one country at a time. Tonight, you've got Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Lana.
Hello.
Dean.
Hello.
And myself, Matt. It's always difficult when we explore gay life in Africa, and tonight is no exception as we travel to the East African country of Tanzania. Off the back of high-profile anti-gay bills in Uganda and Nigeria, what is stopping Tanzania from going down the same path? Why are gay men reluctant to report crimes against them to the police? And what is worse in Tanzania, being seen as a witch or an albino?
To understand gay life in Tanzania, tonight we speak to Rashid Jumbe from the Stay Awake Network Activities, the community-based organisation dealing with sexual health awareness for key population and general population within Tanzania, with the aim to reduce HIV and AIDS in the Tanzanian population. Here's a taste of what you have in store tonight.
My name is Rashid Jumbe. I'm coming from Tanzania. I'm working with the Stay Awake Network Activities. Our organization is a community-based organization that is dealing with the reduction of all forms of stigma and discrimination to key population regarding access to health services. In our organization, we are much dealing with the key population, giving them health educations, trying to use the peer educators to reach them.
Joy 94.9.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
From the gayest station in the nation to the gayest animal in the world, we have the top 10 gayest animals in the world. And number 10 tonight is penguins.
So this isn't, I should point out, this isn't our list. We didn't sit around before the show and think, hey, what's gay?
It's not from personal research or anything like that.
This is a story that's floating around the internet where they've come up with what they term the gayest animal.
So yes.
Penguins. Through observation. Observation of their sexual activities.
What, you've been observing penguins?
Quite often.
Okay.
But we won't go into that now.
Off to Phillip Island.
Yeah, so penguins are birds that are famous for many instances of lifelong relationships between male pairs and female pairs. So go the penguins.
Number nine is a conglomerate. It's bugs and spiders. There's about 110 different species of bugs and insects that procreate, they have a bit of fun, with gay sex.
Get hot under the exoskeleton.
Next on the list is killer whales. Who would have thought?
That surprises me, actually.
Yeah, so was it one half of all male killer whales enjoy or engage? We don't know if they enjoy. They just engage in gay sex.
Sea lions. More than 80% of New Zealand sea lions males exclusively mate with other males.
Now, vampire bats come in at number six, but the one that really intrigued me is number five, snails.
Who knew?
I don't know. I can't
actually,
even picture how snails
have sex.
Actually,
we talked about this the other week.
Well, I think we're infatuated with snails now.
Because they're hermaphrodite animals, meaning they have both male and female reproductive organs.
Hmm. Yeah.
Scientists claim they represent the diversity of sex orientation in the animal kingdom.
Well, back in the water, dolphins come in at number four.
And you could pick that one. I reckon they're pretty playful.
Yeah.
And you could pick the next one.
Flamingos. Mm. Goes with the colour.
Yeah, it does. And number two, bonobos. Some scientists believe that the particular shape and location of bonobos' genitals have evolved especially for lesbians rather than straight sex.
So bonobos are like a monkey.
They are a big chimp.
Now, are we announcing number one or are we going to make that as a quiz?
Number one. What do you think it is? What is the number one gayest animal in the world?
Joy.
In other news around the world, Vietnam has committed to bringing forward HIV treatment targets. UNAIDS has set out a program called 90-90-90. It's 90% of people living with HIV will know their HIV status, 90% who know their status are on treatment, and 90% of all people on treatment have undetectable levels of HIV. They are the first country in Asia to have committed to this target and getting a big pat on the back from both UNAIDS and ourselves.
Absolutely. And over to Seoul, the mayor of the South Korean capital Seoul has become the first mainstream politician in the country to endorse marriage between same-sex couples. So he says, "I personally agree with the rights of homosexuals. And once activists persuade the people, the politicians will follow," he pointed out.
And this is from the country that invented K-pop, so we really can't be gasping in shock there.
But if you listen to the podcast of our South Korea show on the website, that's joy.org.au/worldwidewave, you'll hear all about the sham marriages that go on. So really interesting. Go to the website and have a listen.
That was a great show, that
one. It was a really fascinating show. Yeah. Across to Denmark now. The capital of Denmark, Copenhagen, has been named the world's most gay-friendly place. Oh, and it beat New Zealand.
Unfortunately, yes. New Zealand came in second, my ancestral home, followed by Toronto in Canada, Palm Springs in the US, and Sitges in Spain.
To Burma now. Burma is hosting its first ever LGBT film festival, which is very exciting. It's being held over 3 days in November.
And to Liberia, LGBTI Liberians have gone into hiding after church leaders said Ebola was a punishment from God for homosexuality. Liberia.
Have we been blamed again?
Yes, unfortunately.
We're quite a good scapegoat.
I don't think I like that.
No. So, you know, lots of LGBT people have been harassed, beaten, and it's quite horrible over there.
On one positive note, a Russian man fleeing from Russia for being LGBT has been the first to be accepted for asylum. He's off to the sunny climes of the very gay-friendly Argentina.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Audrey Gochran, the director of Amnesty International's Africa program on the Worldwide Wave.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
Tanzania, where is it?
So Tanzania is a country in the east part of Africa, in the African Great Lakes region. It's bordered by Kenya and Uganda to the north, Rwanda, Burundi and the Democratic Republic of the Congo to the west, and Zambia, Malawi and Mozambique to the south.
Now, it's not a good story if you are gay in Tanzania, unfortunately.
An African country with a history of homophobia. I am shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
It is indeed a very socially taboo topic. Traditionally, there is a view of homosexuality. The view is that one of the partners who's gay plays the female role. And they're called the Masenge.
But only for money or because he himself is impotent, not because he wants to, according to their traditional understanding.
And there's still a large stigmatism.
Yeah. Particularly if you're playing the woman or seem to be playing the woman, there's heavy stigma around that as well.
Yeah.
95% of Tanzanian residents believe that homosexuality is a way of life that society should not accept. It is the seventh highest rate of non-acceptance in a survey of 45 countries.
Sex acts between men are illegal and carry a penalty of imprisonment, life imprisonment.
There's no gay bars, although there are places where gay men meet. Lesbians are less visible than gay men, and it isn't in the criminal code because it's seen as women don't have sex or participate in same-sex sexual activity.
There are a couple of organisations in Tanzania who are advocating for LGBT rights. Indeed, one of them we are speaking to tonight, which is SANA, the Stay Awake Network Activities. They usually work within the realm of HIV, so there is a lot of money and emphasis put towards the fight against HIV in Africa, and that seems to be deemed acceptable. Once you cross the line into homosexuality, it is ridiculed and taboo.
Although the government in Tanzania has no programs to prevent HIV infections throughout the community.
They very much rely on non-government organisations working in the area.
Homophobia is so high that no hospitals treat LGBTI people, and over 300 Tanzanians protested against the arrival of a gay tour group not too long ago.
There's some interesting things in the area of HIV. So the prevalence is only estimated about somewhere between 3 and 5%, which is still very significant, especially in countries as populated as Africa, but probably a little bit lower than some of the other countries within Africa.
Antiretroviral treatment coverage for people living with HIV was 37% in 2013. Compared to only 19% in 2011.
There has been a decrease in deaths from AIDS by about one third, and new infections have decreased as well. So there are some good trends going on, and those programs being delivered by NGOs are having an impact. Some really interesting areas in the area of albino people and witchcraft.
There is, absolutely. Rural villages driven by superstition, have murdered a great many number of albinos in recent years due to the belief that making potions from their hair, legs, hands and blood can lead to great wealth. And it's believed a person with albinoism is a curse, they're from the devil, they are not human, they do not die and they simply disappear. So it was also reported last year that albino women are sometimes raped to the false belief that intercourse with them will cure AIDS, one of the many horrendous beliefs that have led to albino killing in recent years.
Indeed, there was a story came out just a couple of months back from AIDS 2014, the World AIDS Conference staged here in Melbourne. There are about 25 delegates that sought asylum in Australia after the conference. One of them was indeed from Tanzania, and an albino man who feared being killed in his homeland because his body parts are so highly sought after for use by these witch doctors for potions and traditional medicines.
And witchcraft isn't actually is still quite a strong influence in Tanzania. There's been over 3,000 people lynched for believing that they were witches. Apparently, most of them were older women that had developed red eyes, which unfortunately over there is considered a sign of witchcraft.
Whereas if you hung around after a party over here, everybody'd be convicted, wouldn't they?
Would any of us be left?
Indeed.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy. And lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9.
You are on Worldwide Wave, Joy's International News and Current Affairs show. Tonight, we are in Tanzania. Now, just want to come back briefly. The top of the show, we mentioned the top 10 gayest animals. We put the teaser out there for number one. Clearly, everyone was just too blown by the other nine that they forgot. And we need to tell you what number one was.
Lana, would you like to give us the
drum
news?
Roll, please.
Dum-da-da-dum. It is a giraffe. Giraffes, 94% of all observed sexual activity with giraffes are gay sex.
So, I bet they're pretty good to neck with as well.
I bet you they are.
So. Dad jokes.
Joy 94.9.
Joy's Kyle Evans caught up with our guest tonight, Rashid Jumbe from the Stay Awake Network Activities in Tanzania. They deal in the area of sexual health for key populations in Tanzania and asked a whole lot of questions about the state of play.
Joy.
My name is Rashid Jumbe. I'm coming from Tanzania. I'm working with the Stay Awake Network Activities. Our organization is a community-based organization that is dealing with the reduction of all forms of stigma and discrimination to key population regarding access to health services. In our organization, we are much dealing with the key population, giving them health educations, trying to use the peer educators to reach them out, and providing them with ICT materials like condom and water-based lubricants. And some of them, if they are willing to go for testing, we are just taking them for testing, whereby if they are found negative, we're just taking them to the friendly clinic where they could be able to access the treatment, care and support. And dealing with the key populations, we are not leaving behind the general populations because we are trying to curb all the population in Tanzania. Also, we are trying to to organize the small groups in organization whereby they can just make things like sandals, bracelets, earrings, in order to empower them to increase their economic situations. Because we find that most of the of this key population, they are suffering. They are being chased out from home. They are being expelled from school. So they don't have a job. They are just loitering around. So we are just giving them educations on how to understand themselves. First, they have to have self-awareness on how to deal with their situations. And it has been a challenge working with these key populations, since the government and the government, the religions, the culture and traditions doesn't allow this thing. But we as a human being, we cannot leave the key populations in terms of health services. So if you leave the key population, the general population will not be safe at all. So we are just including all to make sure that they are safe from HIV, AIDS, TB and malaria as well.
Can you tell me a little bit about, well, what's it like being HIV positive and particularly being HIV positive in a man who has sex with men in Tanzania? What are people's experiences like?
The people, they experience a lot of challenges being positive with the HIV. First of all, they are facing stigma and discrimination from the communities, and they are having stigma themselves. They have double stigma. First from themselves, second from the communities. So if they come to realize that they are HIV positive, is where the stigma increase more. So it's a big challenge to MSM. Once they have been found with the HIV positive, you find that most of them, they don't have a job, so they cannot even raise in their economic position. So you find even getting the nutrition to support their health is a hard thing for them. Having HIV is not the end of life. They have to keep on fighting. They have to work as other people's. They should just do everything that other people can do. So it's not about having HIV, then you will die tomorrow. No, this is what we are trying to make sure that they understand and they keep moving. And sometimes we just have groups that we organize. They meet, they talk, they see what their challenges and way forward. So this is how we are trying to help them.
A lot of people don't feel comfortable or even safe going to government health centres or hospitals because of discrimination they face there. They're going to get preached at, they might get abused. And you talked about going to see street doctors. Can you tell me about those kind of people?
Yeah, according to our experience, talking about the key population, for example, sex worker, MSM, IDU, these are the most at-risk people. So once they have been found with the HIV or STIs, they are afraid to go to the public health centers. Because once they go there, they are being urged, why are you doing this? Why can't you stop? So it's like the feeling of someone that is feeling to be a gay or is feeling to do a sex working, and now you are coming to get your health services and you are telling him to change what he's doing. So it's automatically that they will run away. So they won't be able or comfortable to access the health services. So what the health providers need to understand is they have to provide the services like other people getting. It's not about judging who they are, what are they doing, because they just go there to have health services. So why are you asking them questions? Why are you doing this and that? That's not the issue. The issue is about health services. What they needed is to get the health services and not being asked or judged who they are. Because no one can judge other person, only God, I think.
And that's the voice of Rashid Jumbe from the Stay Awake Network Activity, speaking with Joy 94.9's Kyle Evans. Double stigma.
Yes.
Double stigma.
The self and the community. I actually relate to that as a lesbian.
In what way?
I think it was really hard for me growing up with the community saying that being gay was wrong. And so I then felt like I was wrong, you know, being the person that I was, and actually felt quite horrible about myself.
It's a bit of a downward spiral, isn't it? Because you've got, even with HIV, this fear of accessing health services. If people are just because you are ill, blaming you and, you know, judging you, there's that would feed into that self-stigma as well as, you know, just feeling really bad about yourself.
Yeah, but I think that not just feeling bad about yourself, but this is really quite serious health issues where people can be dying if they're not accessing those mainstream health services. So it is very serious.
And particularly in the area of key populations. So they're talking about particularly sex workers and men who have sex with men. So these are quite often areas where sexual transmission can be heightened. Therefore, again, if there's not the tendency to go in and be tested, then there is a risk that diseases such as HIV and tuberculosis and malaria can be spread quite widely.
Well, you did have a more positive message or included in there was about education and getting people to realise that with HIV wasn't a death sentence, that you could live with HIV.
And also the value of economic empowerment. So that issue of HIV stigma being so prevalent that people with HIV have difficulty getting work. So they get them together in small groups and create programs that allow them to earn a living.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
You're on the gayest station in the nation with Lana, Dean, Paul and Ben.
And we are in Tanzania. We've been speaking with Rashid Jumbe from the Stay Awake Network activities in Tanzania. In fact, Joy's Kyle Evans caught up with him. And we've got some more about Tanzania and life for gay people.
One of the things you do is you provide support and resources and tools for people who are found to be HIV positive, as well as providing testing. You help people know what centres to go to, what centres to avoid. But do you also do any work in reaching out to those centres that don't know how to handle HIV and trying to educate them?
If they are found with the HIV positive, we are just giving them referral to the friendly health centres. Because for the time being, we are not providing ART. So we have a friendly clinic that is Basada and IDC. We are taking them where they get treatment free of charge. They don't have to pay anything. Why do we call it a friendly clinic? We are just calling it a friendly clinic because there are special doctors and people, the health provider that have been trained to attend the MSM, all these key populations. So once they go there, they understand. So they don't have to ask you, why are you doing this and why are you doing that? It is very friendly to them because you find that most of the key population, they don't have income-generating activity, so they don't have money. So once they go there, they get treatment free of charge. That's why they like it the most, and we refer it as a friendly clinic. So when you go to the government, it's another issue. In terms of HIV services, it's free, but what they get there is stigma and discriminations from the health providers. But if they go for STIs in the public health centers, they have to pay money to get treated.
Have you had any success in trying to reach out to governments or educational centers and reaching out to health centers to try and educate them?
We do have partners that they are trying to call a meeting to have a sensitization with the health providers and public officers as well. It happens once, so I think still we need a push to have more sensitization to health providers.
There's also the thing where you have access to condoms, but lubrication's very expensive, so not a lot of people use them or even know that that's going to help condoms not break. What's the situation there in terms of just having access to those materials?
It's not easy for this key population to get them. You find that they can only get from the private organizations, that they seem to be very friendly to them. But if they go to the government health centers, they cannot just have those health informations and education as well, because they're just running away from the stigma and discrimination. But in terms of water-based lubricants in our country, still an issue, because bringing lubricant in our country, it seems as if you are promoting the homosexuality. Talking about homosexuality, it's not only about MSM. It's even women, they are doing anal sex. So it's like the water-based lubricant should be used with the condoms for all people, not only MSM. to reduce the spread of HIV. So if we really want to fight against HIV, then we should just make sure that the water-based lubricant plus the condom, it has to be used to all people, not only MSM.
Can you tell me a little bit about also reaching out to other groups, so, you know, sex workers, women, you know, the kind of broader community?
Talking about sex workers, we have just written a proposal. It is only talking about sex worker so that we can be able to reach them out. Because now we are reaching out, we are giving them service, but that service is not sufficient. So we need more funding to make sure that these people, they are being reached out and given services. In terms of IDU, we are dealing with IDUs. But in our organization, they just come there, we have a discussion with them, trying to educate them. And we are just collaborating with other organizations that is dealing with IDU as well.
Do you feel that you have all the tools that you need to make a person really be just living with HIV and have a positive outcome there?
No, we don't have all the tools. We still need some help to make sure that the tools are sufficient to those people who are living with HIV. I would just advise to that government that HIV-free generation, it has to begin with everyone, not just only targeting the general populations. The key population should be included, should be given the access to health services without stigma and discrimination. They should be able to be heard talking about health issues. The government need to sensitize the health providers about these groups of people that they're existing, and they have the right to acquire the health services as other people.
Joy 94.9.
What's really interesting I found about that interview is Rashid kept talking about how it's about everyone. You know, a HIV-free generation is about targeting everyone, not just the target populations. When he was talking about water-based lubricants as seen as a promotion of homosexuality, when in fact water-based lubricants are something that everyone needs to use.
And for us, it's like one of the basics, isn't it? It's sex 101. Where's the lube?
Well, you know, really? I think for most of us, yeah, for sure.
Surprises me that it is so expensive too. I don't know what would make it.
Quite understand. I mean, from my perspective, what is the connection between lube and homosexuality? As Lana said, that everyone needs access to it.
If lube is so expensive, nobody's using it. And as he was saying, there's actually not much awareness that it's there. You know, you only know what you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a lot of sex going on without lube, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, it feeds into that whole thing he was talking about over and over again in both parts of the interview about stigma and discrimination.
He mentioned there are two friendly clinics, so the need to be able to point people to clinics where there's not only where you don't get stigma, but they're free. And I was thinking, that's a really good thing. But what happens, I'm guessing that's only in the bigger cities. And then once you get out into a regional area, what happens?
It's difficult. It's difficult enough for people in rural areas in Australia. So rural areas of Tanzania, I can't even begin to imagine.
No.
Yeah. He said that, I believe that HIV treatment was free at government clinics, but it was just the stigma that was going to keep them away.
Not worth the cost.
And although HIV treatment was, he said that STI treatments aren't.
Touched also on injecting drug users, IDU. It was one of the areas that Australia really led the world at the start of the AIDS epidemic in terms of ensuring that transmission of HIV via needles was pretty much stopped dead. So good to see them looking at that area too within Tanzania.
I thought it was a shame that they were limited on what they could do with the sex workers just purely from their resources. They just didn't have the funds to reach out to them as much as the MSNs.
And they have to rely almost exclusively, there's not much government funding flowing their way, so they have to rely exclusively on outside bodies, and people like UNAIDS are funding all sorts of programs within the area to try and keep HIV manageable or reduce it, and there are some good signs there. So we certainly thank Rashid Jumbi from the Stay Awake Network Activities for speaking with us, and also Joy's Kyle Evans for the interview.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, I am Fernando from Guadalajara, Mexico, and you are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
And Lana, Dean, Paul and Ben have a special thanks to Rashid Jumbay from the Stay Awake Network Activities and Santa Tanzania blogspot.com. S-A-N-A-T-A-N-Z-A-N-I-A.
Now say it backwards, Lana.
That is a mouthful. Well, we have had messages with John, Greg, Yasmin, Alex, Matthew and the group Stop Homophobia who have joined or interacted with us on Facebook over the past week. That is Worldwide Wave on Facebook. And of course, Emma, who did actually come back with a song request.
And for Dean on the panel, for Kyle Evans, who got that interview for us, thank you. Next week, off to Switzerland and a really upbeat show there.
A big thank you to lovely Gordon at the front counter as well.
We'll catch you next week on the Worldwide Wave.
Thank you for listening to the Worldwide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.